L-E-D-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the Early Line, live right here on the Sports Grid Network on this Friday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside with a ton to get to. How are you, DRS?
Doing good. Football Friday right here on the grid. The next 2 hours setting the table for this weekend's NFL action. And what a game last night. We were inches away from a monster profitable night.
History. It felt like it could have been special. Maybe even legendary. Instead, a delicious night, truly, as Brandon Staley is being beaten from pillar to post here over some coaching decisions. I'm not even sure I disagree with, but you love to see. As the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Los Angeles Chargers 34-28, walk-off overtime touchdown, Travis Kelce, 34 yards into the end zone. And it was the big names for the Kansas City Chiefs stepping up. Mahomes, 410 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. Kelce, 10 catches, 191, 2 touchdowns. And Tyreek Hill for 12 catches, 148, and a score. Donnie, this feels like the game where perhaps we can officially say the Kansas City Chiefs are back.
Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are back because it feels more comforting, Kevin, like when they beat you in a shootout than just beat you by playing good defense. Because the one thing you can lean on when Patrick Mahomes and that offense gets going, they can really get after it. As you said, 410 yards passing in that game. But it's kind of interesting because, you know, a couple wagers. It's funny how you try to make the game play out. And look, the coaches, the players, they don't care about your fantasy football team and they don't care about your wagers here. But I'm just saying here, Kev. A field goal here or there for the Chargers. You know, you probably win the football game as well. You know, cover a couple wagers here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Could have helped out, but you are right. The decisions to be aggressive, I don't have any issues with those. But you also have to be in the understanding where all those aggressive plays beat the Kansas City Chiefs in earlier in the season in Kansas City, and all those aggressive plays in this one lost you the game versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, look, you can't play things out and say, you know, I like to go back in time and change things up, because the attitude and how you operate your team, you have to go in one direction. You can't tell your football team at one time, hey, look, 4th and 1, we're not going to go for it. This 4th and 1, we're going to go for it. That mindset is what is going to key you to victories. But also, when you take a look at it, that was a loss last night because Brandon Staley continued to go for it on 4th down. Right or wrong decision. Last night, it was the wrong decision, Kevin. Why? Because if he kicked those field goals, the Chargers win that game and maybe in line to win the AFC West.
It's certainly plausible. And yes, you can't always evaluate those things with hindsight that you could say is unfair to Brandon Staley. But there are even decisions that lead up to that. The first possession of the football game started at the Chiefs' 24-yard line due to a monster return by the Chargers' kick return unit. The first two carries are Austin Eckler getting them down to the 5-yard line, and then they go 4 straight passes. I don't think that necessarily helped them, right? I mean, the first play call was a fade route in the year of 2021. Right there, those are fireable offenses. The decisions down on the 1-yard line did not help before halftime. Because you can even talk about the play calls, and those were not perfect from the Los Angeles Chargers in that spot. I mean, a fumble obviously felt costly at the time off the hands of Joshua Kelly up the middle, but it led to the Mahomes interception, and you turn that into a touchdown the very next play. So I think that was kind of fair and fair. As the radio audience enters the fold, and we appreciate all those who are tuned into the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio on this Friday morning, recapping Chiefs-Chargers here, Donnie. The thing about the Chargers is they were supposed to lose, and they did. a tough loss for people who had Chargers plus three, maybe even plus 3.5 with that walk-off touchdown. But the Kansas City Chiefs, Donnie, have won 7 in a row. The Kansas City Chiefs sit there right now at the number one seed in the AFC, and they now sit there as co-favorites with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl, and that's exactly where they should be.
No, it is exactly where they should be. And this is what we anticipated, Kevin, from the beginning of the season. How many times do we take a look at football teams and say, okay, here's their expectations in September. Oh, they got derailed. They never got it back together. Well, the Chiefs were derailed for the early part of the season and got it back together and showing signs of life as if we saw them over the past couple years. Because what drives the Kansas City Chiefs? Is it great to have a good defense and you play well? But the one thing when you're backing the Kansas City Chiefs and why we think they can win the Super Bowl is any given time, if you give Patrick Mahomes the football and that offense when they're cooking, they can move it up and down the field. One last point, again, last night on the game. That first drive, you're right, they start at the 24-yard line. They run Eckler, they get it down. A terrible first down play. Didn't go anywhere. But a second down drop, a third down drop, and a fourth down drop in the back of the end zone, which got Donald Parham that concussion. And by the way, like, we're on the air on In-Play Sports tonight and going over, like, hey, you know, watching it real time, but we don't get to hear. And the Twitterverse exploded on Joe Buck's comment. And no, Joe Buck, it wasn't cold in the stadium last night, and that's why Donald Parham had those rigid hands there. That's directly a sign of a brain injury. So amazing stuff happens, Kevin, even when we're not even listening to the football game.
You know, Donnie, how sometimes we say stuff that's really just kind of like to pass a message along to maybe one of our tremendous producers, Coden. Maybe Joe Buck was just trying to drop a hint that someone needed to get him a jacket in the studio. It was a little bit cold or something there. Because I refuse to believe Joe Buck actually thought the reason that Donald Parham was shaking on that cart, which is a scary scene, had to actually do with the weather. Joey B, do better than that, pal. Chargers also do better. What are you going to do? You have Brandon Staley, 30-1 coach of the year. Remember that?
MVP coach.
Certainly didn't work out. Saturday NFL action takes center stage right here on Early Line Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Saturday NFL action takes the slate here. Man, oh, man. You got to love the early line, whether you know it or not. Whether you know it or not, it's always happening here on this Friday morning. We've got some games to preview. We'll start it off with this shorthanded one in Cleveland. It's an interesting game lined up for the Browns as they are now a 3.5-point underdog. Donnie, the first thing I made sure I put in my notes is that Nick Mullins is now starting this game because, I mean, what do you even say? Nick Mullins is starting this game. How are the Browns meant to score the football?
I mean, I'm flummoxed in this game overall because you take a look at Cleveland, Kevin. They open up at like 5.5, and it's completely switched over with some outlets here showing 4.5. FanDuel Sportsbook here listed at a -3.5, -114. And just the old adage goes, you know, Jimmy's and Joe's, X's and O's, right? If you don't have the players on the field, how do you expect to compete here? And I understand, you saw the Baker Mayfield tweet yesterday, Kevin. He's like, look, this isn't fair to us. You're only testing, it seems like, you know, 3 teams this weekend, and every time you test, more guys end up, but you're not doing it to other teams with those COVID protocols. And I agree with him here. But the simple fact is, you know, the 53-man roster is now shrinking down. But this isn't one of those games, Kevin, where it's, let's just say, the New York Jets and the Houston Texans. And then if I was going, look, hey, guys, neither one of you are going to the playoffs. We got to play this game. We're not postponing it. Just get out there, and I don't think anybody will care if the game ends up 7-3, and they'll just move on to the next game and say, we want to see New England and Indianapolis. But the simple fact is here, Kevin, when you're trying to take an analytical approach here to taking the Cleveland Browns, you can't. You can't do it. If you have so many players on the COVID list, so many quarterbacks on that list where Nick Mullins is your starter, nobody really to throw the football to, one guy to hand it off to, and nobody blocking and nobody in your secondary, I don't even like the Vegas Raiders coming into this game, but there is no way, shape, or form I can take the Cleveland Browns in this game, Kevin.
I mean, realistically, you're not – like, it's not an even playing field in this game. Like, that's the thing when it comes to these two teams right now. 1-7-6, 1-6-7 – but this is not the 7-6 Cleveland Browns. This is not even an iteration of the Cleveland Browns It would be closer probably to a Detroit Lions record. They are so banged up. And the thing about the Raiders, while not playing good football at all, by any stretch of the imagination, they're significantly healthier than the Cleveland Browns coming into this game. What I'm trying to figure out, though, Don, because again, I really don't know how the Browns are going to be able to do anything here on the offensive side of the ball is, will the Raiders score? Because if you look at the Raiders since they came off of their bye week, and we know that they have been continued, have seen themselves with more issues, and the rug stuff, I think, really you can kind of put a line in the sand as to when that offense fell apart. 16 scored, 14, 13, 36 in their win against Dallas, 15, and 9. So during this stretch, Don, where they've lost five of their last six games, in the losses, they have scored 16 or less in all five of those losses. 38's a very, very low number. But if I told you the final score of this football game is 17-10, I don't think that's surprising at all.
No, it's not going to surprise me at all. And you're right here from the Raiders' perspective. One of those offenses starting the season, hey, look at Derek Carr. Maybe some MVP votes in here as they opened up with a good record and he was slinging it all around. But now you take a look here heading into Cleveland. Let's also keep in mind, Vegas Raiders play in a dome. They're going outdoors. There's some precipitation in the forecast, chillier temperatures, some windy conditions. And also from a Vegas perspective, Kevin, winning this football game for them. Let's take a look at the season. They're not having a great one. They're probably out of the playoffs, but they're 6-7. You know who's just ahead of them? The Cleveland Browns, 7-6. Mm-hmm. A win against the Cleveland Browns evens up the records there and also gives you the tiebreaker. So maybe something you could play for. But getting back to the total in this game and how do you cover a spread, Vegas Raiders aren't coming in and saying, Derek Carr, I need you to throw 50 times in this game. Let's really see if we can extend it and, you know, get after it. No, you're coming in this game with a Derek Carr going, I'm the better quarterback in this game. Let me just make the correct throws here, keep sustained drives out here, getting points at all costs, even if we have to continually to settle for field goals, because we're going up against Nick Mullen and an incomplete offense. The game plan should change for the Raiders here, particularly, again, outdoors, on the road, going up against a bad offense. This has to be a lower scoring game. I would be very surprised, Kevin, if both of these teams reached into the 20s.
Yeah, it's a spot where it, you know, there's going to be game specials for this game. And it's one of those where you hope you find yourself busy before, you know, at like 4 o'clock and you miss the opportunity to get those game specials loaded. And then you just watch it at 4:30. I'll add this as well. They have kept all of these Browns futures markets closed. It's understandable as to why, because if the Browns lose this game, which again, they're favored to do, and I will be pretty surprised if they do not lose this game, you have the Bengals and the Broncos both at 7-6 playing head-to-head. If they tie, that's actually not good for a Browns team that would lose, as they would basically lose ground on both of those teams. And the Vegas Raiders would then all of a sudden have the same record and jump them. The Browns are going to fall outside of the top 10 here in the AFC very likely if they lose this game. It'll have a big-time impact on this slate overall. Also, though, Donnie, the other Saturday game looks to be an exciting one here. The Indianapolis Colts and the New England Patriots, a couple of teams coming off of their respective bye weeks here. The Indianapolis Colts are a 2.5-point favorite against the streaking New England Patriots. 7 straight wins for the Pats. The opportunity to stay in control of the number one seed in this conference, the Patriots, with an unblemished road record. Can they hold that true and beat the Indianapolis Colts here on Saturday night?
I think the Colts are going to win this game, and I think that line says a lot here, Kevin. One of the hottest teams in the NFL, no doubt about it, record-wise, is the New England Patriots. So you would have thought that they might be coming into this game as a slight favorite, and they're not. They are a slight dog in this one, and I agree with you there. Also, Kevin, at the FanDuel Sportsbook, you see that total listed at 45.5, and you say to yourself, all right, Carson Wentz and, you know, nasty ground game here for the Colts. It's an AFC battle, playoff battle, maybe a preview here. We know Mac Jones, they're not going to open it up on offense, I guess, after that Buffalo Bills game. Maybe they don't trust him as much. It's on the road. Points might be a little bit harder to come by. Not so fast here, because I know you said this a few times here, Kevin, and you're not wrong. A few bounces here or there, a touchdown, a field goal, you're looking at the Chiefs, excuse me, you're looking at the Colts as one of the best teams in the AFC, as opposed to like the Chiefs sitting up top now. So if you flip it over to New England, Also, take away that game against the Buffalo Bills. That offense was scoring points here. So we're not in 40-mile-an-hour winds in cold, windy Buffalo. We are in a dome here. And also, forget about the New England Patriots offense and just look overall at the Colts offense, Kevin. Last five games, 45, 23, 41, 31, and 31. I think these offenses both will score in this game. And if you're under the impression that Bill Belichick found something by not passing the football, and that's the pathway to victory in a Super Bowl, that's not the case here. Bill Belichick, as we know, who'll use a running back one week? Hey, got 32 touches in this game, inactive the next week. I would be very surprised if this game plan isn't geared up more towards the passing game. They should get a win by the Colts in this one, but more importantly, I think both of these teams, Kevin, get points.
I agree 100%. There's a lot of numbers, Donnie, that suggest the same. How about the Colts team total cashing over 9 of their last 10 football games? And here's maybe though my favorite one for you. Now, the Patriots were over machines before that debacle that we had on Monday Night Football. If everyone agrees that that was a necessary, I don't agree it was a necessary game plan, but if you everyone else thinks it was a necessary game plan because of the weather, well, then that means that they should get back to scoring. But here's my favorite one, Donnie. The Colts are set. I've gone over in 7 of their last 10 games. The 3 unders, 2 against the Texans and 1 against the Jaguars. So just like, yeah. The only reason they played unders is because they went against fake football teams. This is an over game at 45.5, unquestionably to me. I really, really like it. We talk about those alt totals at times when we do the pick 6. I almost want to go back and change the one I have in now. I still like the one I have in now. But this as well feels like an alt total here. Both of these teams get to 24. You should be able to continue to move it in that range. I want to make sure that I added this because this is maybe like the only game you have current props up for. Mac Jones' listed passing yards is 229.5. That feels like a statement from the FanDuel Sportsbook where they're daring you to bet under, and I think you still do. The thing is, Mac Jones doesn't really throw the football on the road, good weather or not, because they don't trust Mac Jones, even though he's minus 400 to win Rookie of the Year. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Ryanside with you on a Friday morning. And before we move past the Saturday games, I think it would be appropriate to kind of still just bring up the state of COVID in the NFL a little bit later on. We'll talk about the Los Angeles Rams, who are going through some comparable problems to the Cleveland Browns. The Washington football team is now catching nearly double digits against the Philadelphia Eagles due to their own issues here. And there's a lot of talk around the league right now as to what makes sense, what's the best step moving forward. There has been, I've seen some reports that the Players Association would like a 1 week pause in the NFL. I'm pretty sure Roger Goodell's current standpoint is good luck on your games this week. That's not happening. And I don't know if the NFL is going to adjust their current protocols and their current stance on vaccinated players, asymptomatic players, or things of that nature, Donnie. But if there are any changes made, and I know there's some conversations around that, it could impact games as early as this weekend.
Yeah, we're always looking for edges here in the handicapping market and just seeing why these lines move and change. So you see these big swings, Kevin, where you have so many players out for the Cleveland Browns, and immediately when you see it, you go, okay, 21 players will not be there for Saturday. But that's not the case right here with some of the changes going on with the NFL and some of their protocols. Dan Graziano tweeted out yesterday, the new NFL COVID protocols make it possible for anyone who's tested positive this week to test back in and play this weekend if you show no symptoms. And then he doubles down on that and says, anyone who is vaccinated, asymptomatic, and tested positive can test back out of COVID-19 as early as the day after their positive test. So he gives an example. If activated by 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, they're using Tyler Lockett here. He could play Sunday. So it looks like, Kevin, it's not a game day thing. If you're with the Cleveland Browns today and you test negative, I believe you have to do it by 4 p.m. Eastern, but I know the NFLPA and the NFL probably have even more clarity today, but it looks like they're finding a pathway to get some of these guys back on the field sooner as long as they're vaccinated without any symptoms.
And again, the reality is this is not getting better right now. We know it is expanding throughout the NFL and the NBA. The difference is if the NBA has to take a one-week pause right now, they'll do it. It is what it is. You know, they don't want to pause their Christmas games, but they'll figure it out. It's the beginning of the season, right? If it's the NFL, we're knocking on the door of the playoffs. You added a week to the regular season as well. The Super Bowl is already set in place. What are you going to eliminate the bye week from conference championships until when the Super Bowl is? Find that very, very unlikely. Though no one cares about the Pro Bowl, so you probably could afford it overall. And you've changed the schedule countless times throughout the regular season anyway, so maybe that's an option on the table somewhere. Let's continue to talk about some of the key matchups throughout this week here through the NFL. And the AFC, as look, it's true of both conferences. The AFC certainly is no exception, Donnie. Key games that will have massive, massive impacts on the standings. We just came off of talking Patriots Colts. This game here will have ramifications for both those teams, and it's the Tennessee Titans on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. A Titans victory, and they stay neck and neck with the Pats and the Chiefs for that top spot in the AFC. But if the Steelers get the job done, maybe. We talk more about can the Colts catch the Tennessee Titans. But it all starts this week here, DRS. It is a 1-point road favorite status for Tennessee with a total checking in at 42.5.
Yeah, we're just going to take a look at this game right off the top. It's a matter of trust here, right? You look at the Tennessee Titans, they don't have a great offense. Their defense is average, but they have a great coaching staff that seems to say, hey, it doesn't matter who's playing this weekend, we're going to win. They won last week against a lowly Jacksonville team. They forced, what, 4 turnovers in that game, only came out with 20 points, but they didn't give up any points here. So you know this team is going to be in it. And looking from a Pittsburgh Steelers perspective, right, you know, getting a point here at home, I understand that. And you'll find out a little bit later what makes the most sense for me in this Pittsburgh Steelers game. But just looking at this as a pick'em here, I don't trust the Steelers. I don't. Can they win the football game? Sure. Is this a Titans team that's coming to town with both of their elite wide receivers healthy and also Derrick Henry in the backfield? No, it's not. So there's an advantage here for the Steelers that can possibly win this game. But let's take a look, and you say to yourself, ooh, Kev, did you see last week against Minnesota? They almost came back. Yeah, after getting shut out in the first half and looking terrible. You don't get bonus points for almost coming back. Do you remember a couple weeks ago against the Chargers? Ooh, they went on the road. Did you see how tough they played the Chargers? Yeah, I did. They couldn't get any stops, and they lost that game as well. You don't get any bonus points for doing that. And then in the middle of that streak here, you get busted up by the Cincinnati Bengals, 41-10, where your offense doesn't show up. And quite frankly, the offense in the following week didn't even show up to the fourth quarter, and you scored 20 points and a failed two-point conversion away from losing that football game. I'm not giving any bonus points here to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. The Titans seem right now that they are in win mode. When the Steelers are in one of those modes, Kevin, we're like, I don't know what to get from them. The one thing I do know is this game is going to be lower scoring, and I do think the Steelers can be in it to win it. But at this point now, I'm not running to the window and saying, oh my goodness, Pittsburgh's at home in a pick 'em. Give me them. I'm not doing that.
I think there's going to be people who would like to maybe tease the Steelers up to a 7, right? But if you do that, I think it's very, very possible that you're sat there at one point and they're down by 14. And you're hoping that they can come back. And maybe they'll do that like they did against the Vikings or like they did against the Chargers. But if you want to bet the Steelers, you're probably better off betting them live because it seems like it's almost a guarantee they're going to be down double digits at some point in this game. The thing is, Donnie, I like the over in this game here. I look at the 42.5, and I think there could be some more scoring than that. Again, the Titans last week play a low-scoring game against the Jags. Take that with a grain of salt. That offense is just not real. What they're doing over there in Jacksonville. And therefore, the Titans don't have to do anything. But the Tennessee Titans are a team that have played to the over in 5 of their 6 road games. And I like the idea of getting Big Ben with a little bit of extra rest coming off of Thursday night football against the Minnesota Vikings. And I also like the fact, Donnie, that I know no matter what the score is, Big Ben's going to stay in that game trying to find some garbage time points. So if they are down by 14, and I need a late touchdown to push this over the 42.5, Big Ben will keep trying.
Yeah, he certainly will keep trying. And that's always the fun thing, right? The first hit, but he's washed. He should retire. Why did he even come back? And, oh, he really has a nice second half here. Ends up with over 300 passing yards and two touchdowns. And, you know, one of the fun things that we do here with content. So I'm hyping this game up, right? Tennessee-Pittsburgh. I'm like, yeah, this is going to go under because I think I have in my pick six contest. So I scroll down and, yeah, I filled out my own pick six contest. And it wasn't too long ago that it did that. I said, oh, you know what? I actually don't have the under in this game. So I do still like the under, but maybe not as much as I thought I actually liked it before we started this segment, Kevin.
I wonder what you do think about a teaser in this game, though, Donnie. But I don't want, you know, maybe you could tell people later what you would think about that possible play. We'll see. We'll see how it all spins out here. Look, another game with this is a big, big one for the AFC right now. We talk about, Donnie, those pseudo eliminator games, right? Perhaps we have another one here in Denver as the Broncos are a 2.5-point favorite against the Cincinnati Bengals. The total for this game is 44. Again, both of these teams 7-6. Both of these teams still with their playoff, you know, hopes alive there. Cincinnati's had an insane season where it's been like, oh, they're clearly making the playoffs, so they're clearly not that good. Denver had the 3-0 start to they're the biggest frauds in the sport to now being right there in the mix. Donnie, what do you make of Broncos Bengals?
I can't figure these two teams out, Kevin. Like, I love this football game. It is going to be, you're right, an eliminator game with two very good football teams, at least on paper good football teams that should give you good matchup. And you say, Donnie, what do you think about this game? Well, the Bengals can move to, the Broncos, that's exactly the way I feel here. The one thing I do think can take place here, if we don't get bad weather conditions, which it looks like we're not going to in Denver, you have Joe Burrow at least a couple weeks removed from that, you know, pinky finger injury that he had. Also, you see Teddy Bridgewater, which some weeks he looks very good. Other weeks it's like, why is he still the starting quarterback? And just take a look, Kevin, at the last five games for the Denver Broncos. They go into Dallas. They put up 30 points and win that game. Whoa, really good performance. Then you take a look against the Philadelphia Eagles. They were terrible and get beat 30-13. Then they bounce back and beat a good Chargers football team 28-13. And then you have a game against the Kansas City Chiefs. It looks like you weren't even caring about anything you did on offense. You lose 22-9. Then you come back with a victory over Detroit 38-10. So if I just read you good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, is this a bad game here for the Denver Broncos? I have to say, if I'm picking this game here, it's hard to win on the games on the road. I get it here. But I still like the Denver Broncos here to cover that 3 points. But I also am more comfortable here with points being scored in this game. But just lining these games up against other ones, Kevin, this is a true coin flip. Both of these teams, honest efforts here, can come away with a victory.
It's you never, like, they're 7-6 for a reason. You do not know what you're going to get from these teams here. It feels, though, Donnie, like it's an ultimate spot game, but it is up to the better to decide which spot they value more. If you're fading Cincinnati, there's a lot of arguments to be made that makes a lot of sense, as they're not only coming off of overtime, but they're now doing that, Donnie, and then heading to elevation. Fatigue can set in throughout this game. But Denver, I think, played a very emotional game last week, and I think that perhaps is a little bit underrated to when we're looking at this. We know that the tremendously sad passing of Demaryius Thomas was something that impacted that game with them versus the Detroit Lions. I think they play the ceremony and everything before that football game there. They go out, they beat the Lions 38-10. I think that can take a lot out of a team, right? And we talk about, you know, highest of highs and lowest of lows, and the Denver Broncos are not a team that I'm going to line up to back coming off of basically their most dominant victory of the season. That's not to me who the Denver Broncos are, a team that's set to build long, big winning streaks. That's just not how I view this Denver Broncos team. I give them credit because they at one point really looked left for dead here in this AFC race. They're not. They're in it. But I think this is the Cincinnati Bengals game. They've performed well enough on the road for me to like them here in this spot against the Broncos. It's a monster game, and it should be a fun one to follow. We take another break here on the early line. We come back. The Birds try and get into a playoff position. We'll break that down.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Breakdown for week 15 in the NFL continues right here on Sports Grid. Donnie, finishing out some of the bigger games within the AFC, there's an interesting game between the Carolina Panthers and the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are a 10.5-point home favorite against the Carolina Panthers. The total for this game is 44.5. Josh Allen is questionable, though expected to play. I have in my notes somewhere along the lines that I think the game goes over, but I also have no idea how the Panthers score. So I probably don't like the over that means, and maybe just lay a number with the Buffalo Bills. But of course, you know, making sure Josh Allen plays matters a ton to however you want to line up and bet this football game. What do you think here, Donnie? Bills, Panthers?
This is one of those three games, Kevin, that I've talked about over the past week or two with the Buffalo Bills that should be an easy victory, and it should. They're favored by 10.5 points here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, over under 44.5 currently listed. Now, I do think this game does stay under, and it's not because I don't think the Buffalo Bills can score. It's the fact of the matter is how much will they have to score in this game, and what makes the Buffalo Bills offense explosive a lot of the times? It's Josh Allen's rocket arm, yes, but it's also the ability him for to scramble around, buy extra time, or just have a called run where he picks up 30 yards by himself as if he's the running back in the offense. Now, with whatever that banged up ankle is going to be, that you know sprained foot that he has, that's going to come into play because if that hinders him just a little bit, that's going to slow him down from running the football, which adds to the intrigue of what are the Bills actually going to do on offense? I don't know, maybe hand it off to your running backs as opposed to having your quarterback continually run the football. The defense should be fine for the Buffalo Bills this weekend against Carolina because the picture comes out, and I don't even know what to make of it. Like, good luck, Matt Rhule, here, because you're only as good as your quarterback. We see teams outside, you know, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, look at the record for Matt LaFleur. You take Aaron Rodgers away for one game. Boy, this team stinks on offense. So you take a look at Matt Rhule. You can't really blame him all that much. But I know you talk about this all. What happened to the Carolina Panthers defense? So if we're looking at a Buffalo Bills offense that might not be as explosive because their quarterback has a foot injury, let's also take a look at the Carolina Panthers offense. Sam Darnold, okay, put him in. Next guy up, P.J. Walker, all right, put him in. Cam Newton, and also keep in mind, Kevin, 32 degrees to kick off some drizzle and snowy conditions here with some winds above 10 miles an hour. Not a recipe for great field goal kicking here, and certainly not a recipe for success just because the Carolina Panthers, they're really going to struggle to move the football in this game. I like the under here, but I don't know if I want to approach a 10-point victory here by the Buffalo Bills. They'll get the job done, but I'm not so sure if I want to lay that 10.5 here.
One of the great oddities of this NFL season is that Cam Newton becoming the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers somehow broke their defense. That is not something that I have any ability to piece together here. The last 3 weeks of action, they've allowed all of their opponents to get over their team total. Washington for 27, 33 for Miami, and 29 for the Falcons. Now, some of that maybe actually is just related to Cam Newton and not in a facetious way because turnovers putting the opponents in good field position. This is one of those. This is a classic Donnie right side under. Final score here, 38-0. And this game ends up going under the 44.5. The Bills should obliterate the Carolina Panthers. I mean, they should absolutely smoke this team. The problem with the Buffalo Bills is they still remain somewhat of an untrustworthy team. We just know that to be true. When they're a double-digit favorite, they've performed, though, against the number outside of that Jacksonville debacle. They should perform here against the Carolina Panthers. Let's keep things moving. Let's talk Eagles. Let's talk Washington football team. It's one of the more fascinating games of the week as well. There's a lot of interesting games, but when you talk up here trying to figure out what you want to do from a betting perspective in a vacuum of a game, with all of the issues that Washington is dealing with here, Donnie, I remember early in the week you were talking about some of the early issues that were coming out for Washington, and you were like, look, I don't know what's going to happen with that 4-point spread, but the Eagles should get a win. I mean, basically, they slapped a teaser on this game. For you know, it's up to 9.5 now. The total is 43.5. What do you think about Eagles football team?
This should be an easy victory for the Philadelphia Eagles, and coming at the right time here, Kevin, because you're going up against a team, theoretically, you're fighting for playoff seeding here, or even a chance to get into the playoffs, and this should be a division win that you should have here. It's the same way we talk about that Vegas Raiders, you know, Cleveland game. But also keep in mind, like, Cleveland is the home team in getting points. Philadelphia is the home team here, and they're not the team struggling with COVID. I believe Quez Watkins, the only one out for the Philadelphia Eagles here of any consequence, when meanwhile, just about the entire team, it seems like, for the Washington football team will be out. And if they don't have COVID, they're banged up. Did you watch the game last week against the Dallas Cowboys, Taylor Heinicke? I think he got hit every single play and could barely walk off of the field, and also had, oh yeah, a throwing hand or throwing arm injury, whether it was his elbow or his shoulder, giving him issues here. Antonio Gibson, good, fine young running back. He should be healthy to go in this game. You take a look at Terry McLaurin. Oh, he left with a concussion last week. How about Curtis Samuel? Yeah, not practicing this week either. So if you're coming into a football game again where we talk about the X's and O's and the Jimmys and Joes, you don't have them at all for the Washington football team, which comes into it. This isn't a pick 'em. We're not asking you to say, well, who do you think wins the football game? Of course, it's the Eagles. The Eagles have to win by double digits. Here's the caveat for myself. If we're looking and they say, you know what, Jalen Hurts is a gamer, we got to get him back out there, hobbled on a bad ankle, I don't know if that's a recipe for success for the Philadelphia Eagles offense to just move the football against a banged up and COVID injury, you know, Washington football team defense. But at the same time, Kevin, if they say Gardner Minshew is going to start, the Eagles should win this game by double digits. All you're looking at here for the Eagles to win this game is playing competent football and offense, making the passes when they're there, handing the football if when you need it, and not giving those turnovers. I think Minshew gives you the best chance at covering that line this weekend if Hurts is banged up with that ankle injury.
And that's what I think makes the total, perhaps, Donnie, not safer, but maybe perhaps where I'd rather be betting this game towards an under. Because, again, Washington's, you know, starters missed is going to be flirting with double digits here. They have a bunch of players on injured reserve. And as you mentioned, the McKissick-McLaurin concussion protocols is not going to help Washington at all in this game. It was a late burst against Dallas that put their offense, you know, towards at least somewhat of a respectable output, where they were getting left on zero for what felt like the lion's share of that game here. But if you look, Washington has been an under team of, you know, a pretty good run here. They've only played one over in their last eight games, again, against the oddly broken Carolina defense. While I think the Eagles can score, if they're going to roll out there with a banged up quarterback, Donnie, they're going to run the ball a lot, and they should run the ball a lot. This isn't about covering 9.5 for the Eagles. It's about winning a game here. Like, I don't know if this will make sense, but if the Eagles cover 9.5, it would be by mistake. You know what I mean? Like, this is about run the ball, get off the field with points, and then continue to stuff Washington here. Not to say 43.5 is understandable from where it lines up, but I think, Donnie, there's a chance you come away with watching this game play out, and we suggest that perhaps the total should have shifted a little more comparably to the way that it has for this game between the Browns and the Raiders.
And especially if Jalen Hurts is your quarterback, because what does that mean? They're going to run the football. They're going to churn the clock. And also, I think you're right with your concept here, Kevin, because you take a look at the line, 9.5. The Eagles should win this football game. I think everybody in the organization for the Eagles goes, hey, man, we can't lose to a team with 25 guys on the COVID list. You know, half of their entire starting team is out, and we're at home here, and we're coming off, you know, a rested bye week. This is the perfect scenario. So it's one of those games where you say, we're going to win this game. We just can't lose it. You know, three turnovers in the first half, miss two field goals, you know, fail to capitalize on a few things here. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have a competent effort, it is all about the win. And you're right, because we look at the 9.5 and say, well, the Eagles should be able to do that. But there's still NFC East opponents here. And also, when you're looking at hitting the gas pedal, and we can always correlate some of these games. The Las Vegas Raiders, we talked about it to start the show. Do the Vegas Raiders come in this game, but hey, man, it's so important that we really get the offense in gear, 50 passes, let's see what we get. No, it's basically sit back and go, let's see what Washington has. And when you can have a defensive line and a defensive secondary that are depleted, you can do so many things on offense. Hand the football. Like, Miles Sanders should be healthy for this game. Jordan Howard possibly coming back. Boston Scott, a couple running backs that you should be able to do some damage with here and not have to press the issue.
Yeah, I think it continues to be a tough game in a tough week, but I expect the Eagles to win, and we talked about this, though. This is the one of the games that will have big-time implications for the make playoff odds. The Eagles are plus 136. The Washington football team is actually off of the board, and then they have still the wild card odds right now. The Eagles are plus 150 to be a wild card team. Washington's still listed there at plus 310. The Eagles at plus 150 to be a wild card team. It makes a lot of sense, as with a victory, they should be sliding inside that top seven. I guess perhaps tiebreakers could still keep them behind a Minnesota or something of the sort. Minnesota, though, won't be playing until Monday night. Let's break down the other NFC East matchup here, Donnie, with the New York Giants playing host to the Dallas Cowboys. One of the very, very important notes around this game was an early week report that though Mike Glennon is your starting quarterback, you might get some Jake Fromm in this game just because this Giants season is over. They're 4-9. They have no playoff hopes whatsoever. And it's not even now, let's see if Daniel Jones can play good enough here and we can hope that Daniel Jones is the man moving. No, they don't have Daniel Jones out there. They fired their offensive coordinator. A lot of the moves that this team made over the offseason have just not panned out. So who cares if you win against the Dallas Cowboys? Donnie, not the New York Giants. If Jake Fromm takes the field, that does not feel like a good thing here. What do you think about the Cowboys as a double-digit favorite on the road against a division opponent?
Yeah, Cowboys are going to win this game. And the one interesting thing is going to be here is what? Glennon at quarterback, he can't move. How many sacks Michael Parsons gets as he move into the favorite here to be the defensive MVP after this weekend could be a possibility. But also you're looking, the same way we look at the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington football team, division rivalry here, and this team is going on the road. They're not at home. So when you take a look at this game and say, all right, 10.5 points, can they do it? Sure they can. But look at the last couple games here, and we take a look at what the actual Cowboys have done. Lost to the Chiefs 19-9. Lost to the Raiders 36-33, beat the Saints 27-17, beat Washington 27-20. So not a lot of blowouts on that card here. And they should have blown out the Washington football team last week. Mm-hmm. But Dak Prescott and, you know, Jerry Jones say, hey, I don't want to call it a slump, but yes, it's a slump at this time. You also were trying to say, can he get out of that? Which I think he can against the Giants. But then again, you say, okay, what do we like about the Giants? A steady offensive line, a little bit banged up now. Running back position where you can control the ground game and have explosivity with Pollard. He's hurt, and so is Zeke being bothered by that leg injury. So dare I say coming into this game, I can't stand the New York Giants. I don't think they're a very good football team at all. But if that line stays at the 10.5, I can't take the Cowboys here, Kevin, on the road to win by roughly 2 touchdowns in this game. I would lean on the Giants. As hard as that is to say, I'm not getting a full-blast Dallas Cowboys offense, so therefore I can't take them to cover a double-digit line.
I think you pair that, Don, though, and I think maybe the under, again, makes some sense here. Some under spots creeping up throughout the NFC East. It's 44.5. The Giants have played 0 overs at home this season. Not one. The Giants came off of an explosive game against the Los Angeles Chargers. A surprising one at that. That was their first over in quite some time. I'm not sure that's going to be the case. And maybe the Dallas Cowboys will turn it around. As you've said, Dak in a bit of a slump here, but it's going to have to be Dak. I got to tell you, what happened last week with Ezekiel Elliott had to be, for Cowboys fans, one of the more disheartening things to watch. He is so washed that with Tony Pollard out, they let Corey Clement out-carry Ezekiel Elliott. You want a target player prop? Whatever the Zeke rushing number is towards the under. Washed, washed, washed. Good old Zeke. We'll come right back here and close out hour number one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out our opening hour right here on the Early Line. The weekly specials market is always one that we look towards here. See if there's anything interesting, whether that be some of the Week 15, you know, pure specials that we talk about, whether it be the first touchdown score, which is, I have no idea why James Conner is 17-1 and the next closest is 24-1. It is completely random. If anybody out there listening or watching has ever cashed a ticket in this market, let us know. I refuse to believe that even exists here, Don. But anything from the weekly specials tab catch your eye?
Yeah, two of them here. One we talked about early in the week, which I'll get to in a second. But one of them that I actually think makes a lot of sense here, and that's Michael Parsons to record one or more sacks this weekend against the Giants, and CeeDee Lamb to receive one or more touchdown passes. That sits at a 2-to-1 price. So if you're figuring out that the running back position is a little bit banged up and Corey Clement's probably not going to carry you over the goal line, it's going to be some passing touchdowns against that weak secondary for the Giants. So I think that makes sense. And also, if Glennon is the starter, The Cowboys are probably winning, and the Cowboys are probably coming after the passer in the second half for the majority of the time. He should be able to pick up a sack, but also the pain that we like here, the Jets and the Dolphins to each score a touchdown or more in each half. It sounds so simple. It sounds so easy, but then you have to remember this is the Jets and also the Dolphins getting caught up in a little bit of COVID issues as well. So some of the more promising numbers here at that plus 300 early in the week, Kevin, not so promising late, but it sure is an interesting wager to look at.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to follow these markets as they continue to jump up here. One of my favorite markets that I always like to try and get a sense for is when they have the X number of teams to hit a total touchdown mark or to combine for X amount of touchdowns. Cardinals, Bills, Dolphins, each for three touchdowns at plus 220. It's one of those where you're like, all right, Cardinals got there, Bills got there. Well, what are the Miami Dolphins doing? But the Miami Dolphins are playing the New York Jets, plus 220. That's not a bad mark. They have another one here for the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Titans to each get to three touchdowns at plus 380. Cowboys should get there against the Giants. The Eagles should get there against the Washington football team. Titans, over. Not bad. Some good prices here early for the week specials. We look forward to watching those all play out. But up next, game of the week starts hour number two.
It's simple, really. Listen. Win. Don't listen. Lose. I mean, duh. This is the home of the winning edge. You're listening.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.